It's the Boom Bap Hour.
It's the Boom Bap Hour, and I'm your host, Miss Ruby V, and we're here with a very special guest today from across the world. Okay, he is coming to us live right now. We got Honored Moocher in the house from Johannesburg, South Africa. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm all right. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for joining us today. And we just want to take a moment to have the audience get to know you. And I know that there's like a meaning behind everybody's name, right? There's a reason why you choose your name. So tell us, like, what's the meaning, special meaning behind your name?
Honestly, man, I got a lot of names, right? And I tried something I wouldn't usually do. Like, I put my name, my what you guys call government name.
Okay.
I put my government name in the Wu-Tang name generator.
Wow. That's dope. I didn't know there was a Wu-Tang name generator.
Yeah, there is. There is. If you go to Google and you hit Wu-Tang name generator, there's like two. And I put my name in there and Honored Moocher came out. And like, I was like, yeah, I'm going to run with that.
I'm going to run with that. That's it. That's dope. Wow.
Yeah.
You know what? As soon as I leave right now, I'm going straight to the Wu-Tang name generator and I'm just going to
try it out, right?
I mean, I do have on the shirt, you know, now I found out. It's over now. It's exactly. Over. I'm going to have a new name next week. No. Cool.
Well, like, you got to check. Like, they changed the name. Like, if you try your name a week later, it'll be different.
What? That's even cooler.
Yeah.
I love it. I swear to goodness. I love it.
Word.
Yes. Well, so you've done a lot of great things. You definitely opened up for some great people. Definitely looks like on the list was Cannabis and Talib Kweli. So tell us about that experience.
The first one was the Cannabis. I was unsigned at the time. It was like 2010. They brought him down. And I don't usually attend a lot of shows unless it's somebody who's influenced me. And, you know, I respected Biss. So I wanted to perform at the show. And like, they wouldn't let me, because by the time you hear that he's coming, or any act is coming down, it's too late to like negotiate that, right?
Okay.
So I just like, I guerrilla'd it, man. Like, I stalked everybody. Like, I was under your car. I was in your cereal, right? Right until 5 minutes before he went on, and I was there. They were even like, who let this guy in? And they were like, you got your shit together? I'm like, yeah, I got, it was a CD, like, you know, it was those days.
Okay.
Like, yeah. They're like, all right, just go on one song. I'm like, fine, one song is all I need. And the DJ put it on, and then we crushed it.
What?
And they were filming the shit. So that's how I did that. Like, I forced my way onto the stage, and like, there was a reason behind it, because I think where I'm from, I don't know how it is in America, but where I'm from, if you have an underground artist coming from anywhere, mm-hmm. it's usually America, the opening acts are nothing like him. Like, it'll be like a trap artist opening for a boom bap dude. And everybody in the audience went to see like boom bap, right? And
right. The
whole lineup of opening acts is like trap. And all they're doing is stealing the opportunity to perform in front of a crowd, because by bringing down the act, you've organized the crowd for them. So you see what they're doing? So I was like, nah, fuck that. Like, at the very least, I don't want these Americans leaving here dissing us. Like, you know, those guys suck. So at least let me just show them that I'm nice with it, you know? So that was my mentality. That's why I was pushing so hard for it, because he's one of the dudes I respect. So that was Cannabis. Talib, my record label at the time, organized that I got signed. And things are so much easier when you're signed, man. They just tell you, yeah, you got a gig tomorrow.
You only got to put no work in, huh?
Yeah. You got this show, that show. So they just said, yeah, Talib's in town. And we it was the Rasta on the label. We're going to have like a 2-hour set. You'll do some joints. So the cool thing is I met him backstage. Like, he was about to go on. And I thought, what am I going to say to this guy? He's about to go on. I can't say much. So I just gave him a dap and said, yo, man, I was really feeling that Afro Samurai shit you did with RZA, right? The Afro Samurai had just come out. And the soundtrack, RZA had done a beat for Talib that he rapped on. And I remember Talib walked away. He just you know, shook my hand. 10 seconds went by, then he looked back at me, and then he shook my hand again, right? And I kind of took that like he was saying, like, you know, I'm a real dude, because most people probably don't do that. They probably just talk about the commercial success that we all know about, you know, like the Beautiful Struggle and, you know, so... Yeah, that was that. And I killed it that night too, man. Like, one of the performances is on YouTube, like on my page. There's one where I'm wearing like a trench coat. That was actually like right before Talib came on. So it's like 100,000 people that night. It was bananas. Oh. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so, oh yeah.
And that was dope how you were saying how you just gorilla'd your way in the first situation. I was like, yeah, that's what's up.
Yeah, like, and I'm not usually like that, but like, I guess I was I really wanted it. And I gotta be honest, like, even with ladies, like, you know, before I got married and shit, like, yo, I was kind of like that, but like respectfully, but more like, you know, when you feel like it has to happen in a good way.
Yes,
that's right. I just used to just sort of like be there, like even if you're not vibing. I'm like, well, what are we going to do to change this? I mean, we have to change this.
Okay.
All right. Give me a day. And then a day turns to like an hour or whatever. Like, I would just kind of not take no for an answer and like switch it up, you know, do something. So, yeah.
That's how you do it. Keep knocking on those doors so they come down. So there you go.
You know what I'm saying?
There you are. Yes. Yeah. So if you were to describe your musical style, how would you do that?
I mean, I think I'm very influenced by New York. I've been making music for a minute, and if I did a top 50, I really think like 40 of them would be golden era, classic New York dudes, you know? And I don't even think it was necessarily by choice because, no, what am I saying? Yeah, because we knew about the West Coast. I think where I'm from, we mainly got East and West, like, you know, anywhere else. Yeah, we knew about the roots, but it was kind of like East and West, you know?
Okay.
But I was always attracted and drawn to lyricism, and New York never had a shortage of that. Like, you could go on a crusade of just one god, and, you know, that could really fill up your style. So. It's very East Coast, definitely. Golden era East Coast, you know. The dudes on the shirt you're wearing are a big part of my inspiration, you know.
Okay.
But like since day one shit, right? Not like just because it's been 25 years since they made that major impact. Like where I'm from, I couldn't find anybody that was fucking with Wu-Tang. And it used to bug me. Yeah, like, I think it's also because I knew very little people. It wasn't like I went around the country and did like a survey, right? I just think at that time, where I was from, everybody was more into the Common, Erica, Talib roots. They kind of saw that neo-soul type hip-hop as, you know, very Black conscious, you know, the dress code. So where I'm from, like, a lot of people identified with that. And Wu-Tang was more intellectual, like, even the bars, you know. So I was kind of lonely in that respect. Like, I'd be playing Wu-Tang and people would just be like, man, that shit is advanced, man. Why don't you come get you?
Like, they really want to wrap their mind around because they talk, you know, real intricate and everything. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah, but that didn't, like dissuade me at all. Like, I understood what they was doing, like, from the first day. You know, and I took many years just appreciating each of them, you know.
Definitely.
So, yeah.
Wow, that's awesome. And it also seems like your parents influenced you with like different things. Like, what would you hear in your house growing up?
Ooh, okay. My dad was a musician. He was in a famous band called Sanko Mota. It's like one of the first acts from here. And he's a piano man and the harp, the blues harp.
Okay.
Yeah. So he was very much into rhythm and blues. And I mean, growing up, I didn't understand it at the time. There was like a lot of O.V. Wright, Al Green.
Okay, yeah, I got to get with you on that. Me too. My dad loved Al Green.
yeah, but he was amazing. Like,
oh yeah, I want to meet him one day. I'm serious. One day I want to meet Al Green. You don't know how influential. I probably know every single one of your songs, like literally.
Yeah, and you know what? Like, one of the things that drew me to Wu-Tang was, by the time I heard Wu-Tang, I remember hearing certain songs and going, "Wait, that's an Al Green song." I grew up. I know that. And that's what got me into production. I was like, so wait, hold on. Because I could tell it was different. And there was bars over it. And I was like, okay, wait, what have they done here? Then I would go back to my Al Green record and be like, all right, he threw the drums on. And then I was like, okay. So then I started to feel like the Clan and myself shared musical taste. Like, you know, I was like, they actually sampled the joints I liked from Al Green, because my cousin liked Al Green too, but when she'd sing his stuff, I'd be like, why would you sing that song versus this song? You know, I don't understand that. This is clearly the better song.
You know what I'm saying? You got to back up and have the shirt off. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So like, it'd be a lot of rhythm and blues, but also my dad grew up in, he lived everywhere, but he spent his like adolescence in the United Kingdom, England. Okay. So he brought with him
UK influence too.
Yeah, like a lot of that British rock and roll from the 70s.
Okay.
Yeah, like Led Zeppelin and a whole bunch, Pink Floyd. Like, I knew that music like through and through. And melodically, that was what was my foundation for like on a rock tip, right? Like, I kind of understood that. So, there's a lot of soul, there's a lot of rock and roll. And then there's a lot of music from where I'm from, you know, but it's a little too cultural, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's weird, right? Like, because, you know, you look at slavery and like you get a lot of people that were taken from Africa to the States, and you know, they don't really know a lot about their culture and they want to get in touch with it. And that's cool on a cultural tip, but the beauty of a street culture like hip hop is it gives your culture an edge, right? It's not like going to like a tribal ceremony, because that's just like the ceremony, but the music isn't all that like edgy, you know? That's why a lot of people my parents' age like it, and a lot of us young people turn it into a street culture. So what we did is we took the cultural stuff and we created a genre called Kwaito, right? So that's Kwaito.
Okay.
You know, if you get a chance and you check out Kwaito, that would have been our version of hip hop.
Wow.
Yeah, I'd meet American people at parties and they'd be like, what do you guys listen to here? Like, that's authentically like, you know, South African. And I'd say, okay. Then the DJ would play something and I'd be like, it sounds like that. And those are good choices. And an interesting story, one of our artists from the 70s, she somehow escaped apartheid. Her name was Leta Mbula. She escaped apartheid, and then, man, she really charmed the pants of David Axelrod. And like, he produced like four or five, like they did like an EP. Like, it's rare, right? So we're talking, that's rare art. If you Google it, you'd have to like search through a bunch of like lists just to find that music. And I didn't even know it existed. So I played it for my dad, like a few years ago, to say, did you ever know that she worked with David Axelrod? Because she's got her own like legacy here, but nobody knew that like David Axelrod and her like struck it up in America. So yeah, that's kind of like a little bit of my musical like repertoire. There's just, you know, if we had hours, I'd get into a whole lot of that. Yeah.
Nice. I mean, I just think the dope thing is that no matter where you go in the world, it's like we can be influenced by, you know, hip hop, but always like bring your own flavor and your own cultural, you know, nuances and everything to it and create something that is new and different and, you know, but it's all derived from the same creativity. So I just think that's so dope. I love that.
Word, word.
Yes. So tell us about new music that you have out right now.
Yeah, yeah. So the new joint is called Red Mercury. It's like kind of like my third album, because the first one I was on a record label, then I did a second album which they wouldn't let me have. It was just, you know how labels are, right? You know how it goes. Like sometimes when you part ways, they're like, yeah, but we keep in that second album, and then you got to go figure yourself out, because you know, before you work on something new, you got to let go of that other shit, right? And yeah, and that's not as easy as some people think, because there's like identity issues. So I'm in a really good place now, because Honored Moocher, Red Mercury, right? Like it's this new joint. It's a little bit of those songs that I mentioned the label wouldn't let me have. I reworked some of them. They eventually let me have them. And it's some of what I've been working on over the last, you know, like 4 years. Here and there, and it's the last time I'm going to make music in the way that I did, which is kind of unique. You know, it makes me think of RZA when he went from analog to digital. You know, to some people, they might not even know what that means. I mean, I don't know what that means, but I do know what it means. So it's like, you know, when a painter paints, you don't really get technical on how he paints. It's just like, oh, you make that? It's like, yeah, but trust me, if he changes one little detail about his process, it affects everything, you know?
Oh, yeah. I do art, so I know. I paint too, so I totally get that.
Yeah, so this music, the Red Mercury, is really special because it's the last time I'm going to make the music in that way, because it belongs to different eras which represent different parts of what I was experiencing and what I was going through. So the next music is going to be more controlled because there's less roller coasters, right? And some people might be like, yeah, but isn't that going to be like less interesting? No, because I've honed the craft to a point where the content isn't dependent on the experiences. It's more on kind of the command I've got over what I'm doing now. You know, like back then, a lot of it was me figuring myself out, even like the craft itself. But mm-hmm. Now, like, I'm in a really great space. I mean, and you'll tell by the music, man, like, it's fire, if I must say so myself. I'm sorry, like, that shit is hot. It's hot.
Well, yeah, I can't.
So wait. It's on Bandcamp. It's on Bandcamp right now. And as of today, also, it's everywhere. Like, wherever you get music, it's there.
Okay.
I just really like Bandcamp because I don't know if you've used it before, but you really get to engage with people and they get to support what you're doing, because like streaming is kind of cool, but like, I don't know, man, it kind of makes us lazy as well. You know, like it's so damn convenient, right? It's like just there, you know, and Bandcamp is so much more personal because you can select, you know, how much you want to pay for a work of art, which is beautiful, you know. Uh-huh. Depending on like how much you feel connected to it, you can decide. And like, you know, if you connect with people there, like you could put out the vinyls on there as well, you know.
Wow. Okay.
And your merch, everything. So like based on that, like you could literally say, okay, there's like 10 limited edition signed vinyls, and you know, whoever's following you that likes you can be like, yo, let me get that. Or tapes or CDs, and people suggest to you, I'm more of a tapes guy, I'm more of a CDs guy. So I kind of like that interaction about it, you know. That used to be like it's not there anymore when you just think of streaming. It's
right,
just like
right,
a giant marketplace. So that's kind of one of the things that I really like about, you know, the Bandcamp experience. But it's everywhere else for everyone's convenience. You know, it's the Red Mercury. It's actually the first of three that I'm doing. I'm doing a red series, right? So I think I should let you know. So this is Red Mercury.
All right.
I'm currently working on a working title, Red Belt. So all of them have the word red, right? So this is Red Mercury. The next will be Red Belt, which is a lot darker, but flavorfully dark, right? Flavorfully dark. And then the last one is dedicated to, you know, the lovely ladies of the world. Like, that is a big part of my life, like, you know, love. And, you know, it's just generally not gangster to talk about it, but I can't avoid it because it's played such a huge part of my being that I want to dedicate an entire album to it, right? But it's edgy. It's still like rap shit, you know what I'm saying? It's not like I'm going to be on the... No. We still over here with it, you know what I mean? So I'm going to call that one Red Rose, you know?
Okay.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah, that's what I got coming. But if you want to know why I called it Red Mercury, it's two things. The first was the concept, like Red Mercury. Like when I heard about it the first time, what I found most interesting was I couldn't get conclusive proof whether it exists or not. You know, like it's kind of like the Bermuda Triangle. Like you hear that ships disappear there, but if you really do your research, it's like that's an old urban legend. Like Red Mercury is the same. Some people say it is like an aphrodisiac. It is used for nuclear weapons. Some people say it's a hoax substance. So what I did was I created the concept where I said it gives you like super juice for like bars. So I'm using it, you know, to create. And then there's like skits throughout the project that basically, you know, talk about the hoax, talk about the uses. So you get to make up your own mind.
Okay. You know? Kind of helps you conceptualize everything that you're doing with the skits and everything in it.
That's really cool.
Well, definitely, you know, please go check out Red Mercury. We're going to definitely, you know, play that after this interview. And it was just such a pleasure definitely speaking with you today. And before we wrap it up, just let everybody know, like, your everywhere we can find you, your social media, you got a website, everything. We want to know, how can we connect with Honored Meacher?
Oh, man, you could connect with me on Instagram. It's just Honored_Moocher. On Facebook, it's also Honored Moocher. Not on Twitter. The email, if you want to reach out to me, it's honoredmoocher@gmail.com. Or on Bandcamp, you know? Wherever you want to find it, wherever you look for what you get, just hit up Honored Moocher, the one and only, baby. So you're not going to get lost with that. Yeah, YouTube as well, yeah. Anywhere.
All right, you want to give any shout outs before we go?
Yeah, man, shout out to MJ for putting a brother on. Shout out to hip hop. It's 50 now, right? Like,
yes, oh my god, yeah. 50 years.
Yeah, man, I mean, that's way longer than I've ever been in it, you know, but it saved my life, you know. It did a lot of things. It gave me purpose, it gave me love, it continues to do that. And this is just my humble offering, Red Mercury, you know, just to contribute, just to say thank you to the craft and to God for giving me an ability to do it. You know what I mean? So shout out to Sin Castro. Yeah. Shout out to hip hop, man.
All right. I love it. Shout out to hip hop. Well, again, thank you so much for being with us on the Boom Bap Hour. Y'all give it up for Honored Moocher. And don't go anywhere. Keep a lock. It's the Boom Bap Hour, y'all.